And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, so I'm going to go to this next dipper. Dipper number two, send him packing. So let me ask you a question. What do you do when someone is coming into your country and while they are here, they are advocating strongly for civil unrest and invoking terrorist activities against your country and your allies? It sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it? Not for the left. The left right now is clamoring for the opportunity for these people to stay. Why would that be? Well, because it's Trump, first of all, and anything Trump does, they're going to take issue with. I don't care if Trump came out and said, the sky is blue, by the way. They'd come back and say, no, not today it's not, sir. I mean, if Trump literally said, I love my mama, they'd say, you don't love your mama. I mean, there's nothing he could say. In fact, you know what? He did say that at his speech the other night. That was, to me, that was one of the best things he could have done. It's almost like he disarmed the Democrats at the very beginning in the eyes of the world. He looked at them and said, there's nothing I can do to make you cheer. Nothing.
He even said I could have the cure for cancer appear and they wouldn't stand and clap for it.
That's exactly right. And then, oh, by the way, he had a kid with cancer who had survived cancer and they wouldn't cheer for him. He was right. Good on him. So let me ask you this. Back to the original question. How would you feel if you knew that the government was actually going to say, you don't have the right to promote civil unrest in our country if you're not a citizen? But isn't that freedom of speech? I thought green card holders had freedom of speech. There are limitations. There are. And guess who holds the cards? The Secretary of State. And oh, by the way, the law does appear to be in his favor. Oh, by the way, the left is having a conniption over it. But let's do this. I want to play. How much time we got? We got time for this? It's a minute. It's a minute 50, right?
Got about 2 minutes.
Ooh, I tell you what, we're going to hold him to after the break because I don't want to rush it. I'll just lead off with this. I'll give you the backstory. If you haven't heard everything about it, you may recall all of the civil unrest on college campuses and the pro-Palestinians with the little skulls full of mush who would wrap the keffiyeh around their face and stand outside and be all big and talk about why they need to be excused from class because they have to protest this thing about from the river to the sea. And they don't know what river or what sea, but they know it's very important that they protest. And that's the thing. And then they would have some more Lunchables and juice boxes and then go back out and do a little more. And in the meantime, they were also damaging property. And then he got really bad when they began to harass Jewish students. I don't know if you remember this on one campus when Jewish students were literally having to lock themselves into the library because crowds were harassing them and calling out for threats. This is unacceptable behavior. If that had been a black student or any other student for that matter, if that had been a gay student, if that had been something that the left claims to be their own, it would not have been allowed. But because it was Jewish students, anti-Semitism was somehow being perpetrated with the complete acknowledgement and lack of activity by the administrations of these campuses. Trump is now saying, ain't going to happen on my watch. Biden may have let that slide. I'm not letting that slide. So last Friday, in what I thought was one of the best moves he could have made, he canceled over $400 million in contracts and grants to Columbia University, which has been one of the hotbeds. Then ICE went in to the campus. Oh, by God, yes, they did. ICE went into the campus and went straight to the room of a guy named Mahmoud Khalil. Mahmoud Khalil, who I believe is from Lebanon. Mahmoud Khalil, who was the face of multiple protests and civil unrest and violence and taking over of buildings and vandalism on Columbia's campus. He's now been detained. His green card's been revoked. And they say they're sending him home. I'm for this. The left is not. But I'll give you the legal arguments and all the whys and wherefores. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. Goes from Huntsville on back to Chattanooga. And I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn and stretching across the border into Fort Benning. Yes, I called it Fort Benning. It is Fort Benning, Georgia. And, oh, by the way, big old patches of northwest Georgia and Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, we got plenty to talk about here. I do need to remind you guys, though. So Right Side Media is the name of the parent company. Right Side Radio is only one of our productions. We have a bunch of podcasts that also come out on a regular basis. And my latest podcast, because I'm one of them, my latest podcast, The Right Philosophy, came out this morning. So it is now available where? On YouTube? Tell me, bud.
On YouTube and X, and also on our website of rightsidemedia.org.
Perfect. So yes, this one is titled The Democrat Death Spiral. So we're going to talk about in detail the evidences of the fact that the Democrats are rudderless right now. You may want to check it out. The Right Philosophy podcast with me at my house. I film it in my study at home. And it's all called The Democrat Death Spiral. It came out today. Check it out. Back on this topic right now, send him packing. So I will tell you this. Trump has already laid down the law. Not only is he saying, hey, by the way, guess what? We're going to cut off funding to universities that don't do anything to stop anti-Semitism. And, oh, by the way, if you're a foreign national and you're here and you're part of it, and we know it, you may lose your green card and get deported. Well, it's happening. But Trump also said, according to the AP, Dateline 2 days ago, President Donald Trump warned on Monday that the arrest and possible deportation of one Palestinian activist, that's the Mahmoud Khalil guy, at Columbia University will be the first of, quote, many to come. As his administration cracks down on campus demonstrations against Israel and the war in Gaza, he said, we know there are more students at Columbia and other universities across the country who have engaged in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic, anti-American activity. We will find, apprehend, and deport these terrorist sympathizers from our country, never to return again. By the way, there's a group of faculty members at Columbia that are very concerned about Mahmoud and whether or not he had his free speech rights curtailed. I'll talk about the legal aspects of that in just a minute. But first, I want to say the green card status is in the hands, generally speaking, of not just the law, but designated in terms of authority to the Secretary of State. I've got a quote here. This is on C-SPAN. This is Secretary of State Marco Rubio talking about it. Go ahead and play it.
When you come to the United States as a visitor, which is what a visa is, which is how this individual entered this country, on a visitor's visa, okay, you are here as a visitor. We can deny you that visa. We can deny you that if you tell us when you apply, hi, I'm trying to get into the United States on a student visa. I am a big supporter of Hamas, a murderous, barbaric group that kidnaps children, that rapes teenage girls, that takes hostages, that allows them to die in captivity, that returns more bodies than live hostages. If you tell us that you are in favor of a group like this, and if you tell us when you apply for your visa, and by the way, I intend to come to your country as a student and rile up all kinds of anti-Jewish student, anti-Semitic activities. I intend to shut down your universities. If you told us all these things when you applied for a visa, we would deny your visa. I hope we would. If you actually end up doing that, once you're in this country on such a visa, we will revoke it. And if you end up having a green card, not citizenship, but a green card as a result of that visa while you're here in those activities, we're going to kick you out. It's as simple as that. This is not about free speech. This is about people that don't have a right to be in the United States to begin with. No one has a right to a student visa. No one has a right to a green card, by the way. So when you apply for a student visa or any visa to enter the United States, we have a right to deny you for virtually any reason. But I think being a supporter of Hamas and coming into our universities and turning them upside down and being complicit in what are clearly crimes of vandalization, complicit in shutting down learning institutions. There are kids at these schools that can't go to class. You pay all this money to these high-priced schools that are supposed to be of great esteem, and you can't even go to class. You're afraid to go to class because these lunatics are running around with covers on their face, screaming terrifying things. If you told us that's what you intended to do when you came to America, we would have never let you in. And if you do it once you get in, we're going to revoke it and kick you out.
I mean, how perfect is that? Does it make sense to you, JP?
Makes too much sense to me, actually.
Liberals hate it when there's common sense attached. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody would have wanted him here under these conditions. So why would we keep him here under these conditions?
By the way, if like 15 years ago, if there's an ISIS sympathizer like at a university, I feel like everybody would be like, yeah, he should get out. If he's here on a student visa, we should kick him out. Like, duh. But now that it's Trump and it's Hamas, where the whole Democratic Party is anti-Semitic, now it's an issue. Now it's a free speech issue. Where, like I said, say Obama in like 2012 kicked out a pro-ISIS guy, nobody would care. I'd be like, yeah, you should do that. But now the tables have turned.
Yeah, exactly. The tables have turned. And oh, by the way, Trump.
Yeah.
So I will say this, the kid we're talking about, he's 30 years old, actually. He's yes, 30.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's like a 12-year-old, 30-year-old. But the kid we're talking about has now been detained, and he's also not in New York anymore. They're detaining him in a prison, in a detention center in Louisiana. But a federal district court judge has now issued an order blocking President Trump from deporting him at this point. The order didn't say release him. The order didn't say let him go and let him go back to protesting. But the order did say to preserve the court's jurisdiction pending a ruling on the petition, petitioner shall not be removed from the United States unless and until the court orders otherwise. Now, that doesn't mean anything. There's a petition right now before the court to push back against the Trump administration's efforts to have him deported. The judge is saying, I got to hear this, and if he leaves the country, I can't hear it. So you can't deport him. And so this is really not as big a deal as people are trying to make it out to be. A judge is blocking it. A judge is saying, I want to hear the merits of the case. And if you send him away, I won't be able to hear the merits of the case because I won't have jurisdiction over a guy who's in Lebanon. So there's that. But then you also look at this, and there's this whole free speech argument. The liberals are freaking out. Well, how about this? The Immigration and Nationality Act states that any alien who has presence or activities in the United States, the Secretary of State has reasonable grounds to believe would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences for the U.S., is deportable. That's a quote from the Immigration and Nationality Act. Let me go a little step further. Full credit to a guy named Mark Goldfeder. Goldfeder. Mark Goldfeder is the director of the National Jewish Advocacy Center. He's also apparently an attorney. He also, I feel like, gave me enough here to why I should apply for continuing legal education because I read his stuff. But he posted an epic Twitter thread the other day that just basically was the legal version of bringing receipts. When you give someone the case citation or the code citation for something in the legal world, that's the legal version of bringing receipts. Like, oh, by the way, here it is. Bam, mic drop. So he points out some of the same thing I just said. The Immigration Nationality Act, he's telling liberals are wrong. Immigration Nationality Act, Section 212A3, contains a number of activities for which a person can be deemed ineligible. One of those is subparagraph Roman numeral 7, any alien who endorses or espouses terrorist activity. Okay. So then he says, so you're worried, though, about the First Amendment. He said, first of all, I notice you don't bother commenting on what he's been doing. You just want to talk about First Amendment. So he says, are his First Amendment rights exact same as any citizen's First Amendment rights? And the answer, he says, may surprise you. Not exactly. He says, the government routinely places restrictions on speech rights of people like students, prisoners, the armed forces, foreigners, even our own government employees, as long as there's a legitimate governmental interest in doing so. And that's the legal test, a legitimate governmental interest. He cites a number of cases and statutes, and I'm not going to try to read them all to you, but I'll give you a couple of paraphrases. He says speech rights might be applied differently to foreigners who do specific things, including advocating for certain groups for good reason that are considered to be dangerous and threats to national security. And oh, by the way, he points out there's 120 years of Supreme Court precedent on this, dating back to a case called Turner v. Williams, 1904. And then he says that case was about anarchists. Oh, look, anarchists who wanted to violently overthrow the government. Oh, sounds familiar. He says you can substitute Hamas-affiliated anti-West agitators, and there you have it. But then he says to the libs, now suppose you just don't like those cases, and you feel that we should undergo a more traditional First Amendment analysis. Well, there's a standard. And here's the thing. Certain things, especially when there are restrictions upon liberties, have to be subjected to what the law calls, this is me talking now, the law calls strict scrutiny. Stay with me here. Strict scrutiny. For the government to be able to regulate the content of any person's free speech, the law would have to be narrowly tailored, to achieve a compelling government interest. Strict scrutiny. The judicial review of this will be strictly construing the statute, strictly construing the application thereof, strictly construing the efforts to perhaps curtail what would normally be considered a liberty. There has to be a balancing test. And the balancing test is there an equally important interest to curtailing the liberty? And in this case, yes, because one of those allowances is on matters of national security. So he points out, Even if there were so extensive First Amendment rights, the deportation would likely survive a strict scrutiny analysis. And then he says, stop posting legal arguments that are completely devoid of law. So, first of all, the judge did say don't send him away yet. Okay. The judge didn't say the merits of the case are without, you know, any potential for success on the part of the Trump administration. He didn't say that at all. He didn't get into anything that the kid had done. He didn't get into anything about whether a Secretary of State has a right to revoke a green card, which he does. He didn't say anything about visas and about deportation efforts. He said, I can't have this hearing if you send him away. Secondly, the law does appear to be decidedly in the favor of the Secretary of State, who you just heard gave a very lucid argument for why he should be allowed to do this. Y'all, I'm just telling you, this kid's going home. And he should. Now, there's one other dynamic that I have not yet heard the kid invoke. He's married, and I believe his wife's an American citizen. So what does that do? I don't know. So if he has any standing at all, it's going to be on his claim that he is rightfully married to an American citizen. And that could be the only dynamic change. In the meantime, he's a mere green card holder who had overstayed his student visa because apparently he graduated in December and he was still hanging around. And oh, by the way, national security. So, this kid from Lebanon, who actually was born apparently, he's a Palestinian who was raised in Syria, spent time in Lebanon, came to the United States, wanted everything we have, wants to claim the liberties, but he also hates the United States, hates Israel, believes in anti-Semitic activity, and calls for unrest and even helps organize it? Yep. Trump says he's the first of many to be incarcerated.
He loves Hamas so much he can't stand to live under them, apparently.
Fair.
Like, he hates the West so much, but yeah, he's whining about getting kicked out of here, so it's funny how that works.
Just defies common sense. But you know what? I usually find that on the left.
Yeah, it's a theme.
All right, brother, let's take it to a break. There you go. Send him packing. That was number two on the Triple Dipper. Going to come back, get some text messages, cover a few other things, and then, yeah, coming up top of the hour, we got the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. You guys stay tuned. Right Side Radio, we will be right back.